How beautiful are the feet on the mountain of those who bring good news. Isaiah 52. The gospel, the announcement. And we are two sessions in, this is the third, into this new teaching series that has taken us from creation to significant events in the history of God's people, to the prophets that we're talking about now, pointing the way, announcing what is to come, to Jesus and his birth, which is coming soon. We celebrate that at Christmas. And his teachings and significant events in his life, and his death and his resurrection, and then his final words to us. It's an exciting teaching series, hey? I hope you're excited about it. I am. And I want to be honest, I was a little bit nervous about it when I was talking about it with a few other people and that we were going to do this. I thought, well, none of us really are professional theologians. None of us really are professional preachers. That might surprise you. None of us are professional storytellers. So this series is going to be a stretch. That's what I thought. And I just felt, but you know what? I want to go for it because this needs to be written deep within our hearts. And whatever we do in our homes, in our lives, in our workplace, with our families, this story of God needs to be written all over us. We need to be living it out. Helen talked about this great tapestry and the bride and the bridegroom. Den talked about Jeremiah and how his actions, his actual physical buying of a field, of some land, all points to God, to Jesus. And I was just convinced that we should be reflecting this too. We should make sure that we know we're part of the story and what the gospel really is. And so I don't know about you, but you know, after being told time and time again over the decades, that over the centuries, over the millennia, that there is a new season that we're in now, a new leader, one who goes about things differently, one who came from the line of David, one who is God with us, I'm a little bit excited. Are you? Yeah? Do you think they did well, Den and Helen? I really do. Helen's not in here, but let's give them a round of applause because it's tough. And today, I get I don't know if it's a joy, it's been really difficult actually. I think the challenge and the heartbreaking, but also quite fascinating story, or account actually, history of Hosea. Have you heard of him? Good. He's got a whole book in the Bible. And he lived and he prophesied into a terrible time for the nation. And in fact, it had become the nations of Israel at that point. They'd split up. It's about 700 years before Jesus comes. And northern Israel, where Hosea was, had gone through a period where they had had six kings in 20 years, four of whom were assassinated, so violently killed, and the one of whom had been forcibly removed from the throne. Assyria, so a big nation, was on the rise and had conquered Israel, and a lot of the population, a lot of God's people, were now in exile. That word means they had fled. They were in the wilderness. They had gone again. But perhaps even worse than all of this sort of physical danger and torment was that it seems, from what we can tell, they no longer distinguished God from Baal. Have you heard of Baal? Yeah, that's the gods of the time, the other gods. And by the time Hosea was speaking into this, people of God were visiting the shrines of prostitutes. They were adopting magical practices, and they were no longer set apart. They no longer had God as their highest priority. They no longer put God in the highest of regards. And so into this, the Lord speaks firstly to Hosea. And this is how he speaks through Hosea, right? You might know this story. Hosea, I want you to take Gomer as your wife. Go and marry her. She will be unfaithful to you. She will leave you, not just once, but for multiple men. But marry her anyway, and love her anyway. She will be your one true love. Commit to her, build a life with her, build a family with her. And so, as God's obedient servant, Hosea did. He went to Gomer, and he married her, and she promised herself to him, and she married him. And they lived a life, and I guess they loved each other, and children came, as they often do if you're able to have children and you're married, often children come. But by the third child, Gomer, I believe, was already seeing other men. She had been unfaithful at least once to Hosea. She had fallen into the arms of another lover at least once. And we know this, and Hosea knew it, because he called this child, not mine, not mine. And eventually, later on, Gomer leaves. She started to seek fulfillment, excitement, satisfaction in the arms of others. She breaks her promises so fragrantly to Hosea and her family and brings shame upon them. And they carry on living out their lives, and she's long gone. And as is the way with unfaithfulness and adultery, and actually as is the way with pretty much sin, what she thought would satisfy or excite or fulfill actually eventually is destroying her. It's likely that she had entered into a relationship with a pimp. And we know that she prostituted herself. And she was now a sex worker. And where she was the abuser of these things, now she was the abused. Where she was the user of sex, now she was the one being used. And she was used until there was nothing left. And she was done, and she was tossed aside. Now, good for nothing, she was to be sold as a slave. And we're going to read Hosea chapter 3 together now. The Lord said to me, go show your wife love again. Though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethe of barley. Then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will behave the same way towards you. For the Israelites will live many days without a king or a prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or household gods. Afterwards, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. You see, God is the king. He is the king. But his relationship with us cannot only be defined as king to subject. So he is a king, and we are his subjects, but it does not do enough justice to the relationship he has and wants with us just to call him king. God is our Father. He is our Father. But his relationship with you and with me cannot only be defined as a parent towards a child. God is a shepherd. He's a good shepherd. But his relationship with us cannot only be defined as guide and protector. Do you know what? Some of us will know this and some won't. God can be your friend. He can be your friend. But his relationship cannot only be defined as mutual affection and support for each other. And God can be your savior. Listen, he really can be your savior. This morning he can be your savior.